everyone. Welcome back to a football update with Andy and Robin. How's it going?
Great. How about you, Andy?
Pretty good, Robin. Pretty good. The week two games, in my opinion, pretty good. I'll say this, though. A few of them just seem like a few teams still aren't ready for the NFL season. Don't get me wrong, there's some games that were fantastic, but a couple were, you know, okay.
Yeah.
Some teams really just feel like they need to, you know, get things getting going.
Yeah.
Jumping in, the Browns pull the Jets.
Yeah.
Which is just, looking at that game, I was just flabbergasted.
Yeah, they responded well on Thursday night, but yeah, that was quite a collapse. A 99-point-something% win probability, up 30-17.
I'll say this, it looks like Joe Flacco's, I don't know if it's going to last, but Joe Flacco looks back during Super Bowl days. going to Lions and Commanders, I got to say, I don't know if they have, as I said last week, like as Gene Hackman said from the replacements, that team's got heart. And maybe they could pull like the last seed of the wild card, maybe. Like they... Even last year, they were had a bunch of close games, even that they lost. So, really pulling for the Lions.
Oh yeah, same here. Yeah.
Commanders pulled up, did a good game, but you know, adjusting. I actually always been a kind of a fan of Carson Wentz, and honestly, if any coach can kind of help him out, I think it's Riverboat Ron, as his nickname goes.
Tied for league lead in touchdown passes, 7 so far this year, so not doing terrible. Although it was mostly second half, but he's played better than expected.
Everyone thought he was just done. Most disappointing game of the week, I'm hoping, because again, I love Frank Reich, but just a blowout against the Jaguars. Yes, Michael Pittman was injured. I mean, I'll say this. I kind of looked at the roster thinking, like, again, not taking away from receivers. Being a pro athlete is super hard to do, but I just saw that, and, like, without Pittman, their offense just, you know, like, it can't, it can't help Jonathan Taylor get going. And, and again, horrible loss. I will say this: his first year, Frank Reich was there. I think they were 0-6 or 0-7, or I can't remember what. Basically, their season was dead. Somehow they came back and got into the playoffs. So you know, the saying goes, "Don't rule it out till it's over." But they got to change some things, definitely.
Yep, AFC South is, you know, not a dominant team, although the Jaguars are in first at 1-1, and the only team with a win in that division so far. Colts, yeah, they didn't have Pittman or Alec Pierce. They're supposed to have him back this week. It sounded like both will play, but yeah, just not getting, and this is, haven't won there, I think, since 2013 or 2014 Jacksonville, so something's just not right with Jaguars week for them.
Absolutely, but, you know, again, they're fortunate that they're playing in that division. Like, even if they lose this week, I have a feeling that they can still, just again, not knock to the South, but they are the weakest division this year, appears. Going to the other South, the another rivalry game, Bucs-Saints, I gotta admit, got a pretty heated.
Mike Evans and Marcus Lattimore, always, they always go at it in those games. There was an NFL memes video where it was, said Mike Evans and Marcus Lattimore is like the chicken and Peter Griffin fighting on Family Guy, and that's a pretty apt description.
It's like the reincarnation of the Crabtree to Lee. The Bucs pulled it off in the end. Some injuries with the Saints. Always a fun game to watch. Very fascinating. Yeah. And you know, it's funny, both of them weren't wrong, because Evans thought that Lattimore was messing with Fournette, I think, but he didn't see, because he was looking at the opposite side. Fournette pushed him first. Which, again, I don't completely disagree with what Evans did. You got to protect your teammates, but, you know, again, you're playing a contact sport. Things happen. Going to another NFC South game, but this time against the NFC East. What is going on with the Giants? I don't know if it's luck, or, I mean, Dable was a great offensive coordinator, and I'm presently surprised.
Yeah, Daniel Jones hasn't lit the world on fire. They're playing backup receivers. Kenny Galladay's barely on the field. Kadarius Toney's barely on the field. And they found ways to win two close games with a whole new coaching staff and everything else. Winkendale, the defense coordinator's done a great job with the Giants' defense. And, I mean, they've played the Panthers, who are 0-2, and the Titans, who were the number one seed last year, but 0-2. So the competition may ratchet a little bit up when we talk about that game, their next game. But, you know, they've done the most with the least out of every team, arguably, in the league so far.
Absolutely. And we're going to talk about the Panthers a little bit on when we do our predictions for Week 3.
Yeah.
Next is Patriots Steelers. Was a close game, that defense. Like, I'll say this though, that game against the Patriots and the Browns, it really shows how much of a difference maker TJ Watt is.
Yep. They got.
They even talked about it. Like, their defense is still pretty damn good. Pardon of my French, but it's they go to damn good to elite just because of TJ.
Yep, I mean, they went from 7 sacks against Cincy to no sacks against the Patriots, and even though they only allowed 17, and then they basically gifted New England 7 with a bobbled punt by Gunnar Olszewski, and Alonzo Highsmith's a pretty good number 2 linebacker, but forcing him to be the number 1 and trying to replace what Watt does, it's just not possible.
Yeah, but we're going to talk about the previous night's game, the Thursday night game later on. Maybe they're at the point where they might pull in Pickett, but we'll talk about that later on. Falcons Rams, they almost broke the curse. It's funny, the Rams were 28-3, and then Jalen Ramsey kind of stopped the curse from breaking.
Yep.
So you feel for the Falcons because there's a great YouTuber called 5 Point Videos, and he did the top 10 stadiums, and it just Arthur Blank is one of the few owners like I generally like because he cares about his fans. He actually gives affordable food, and he promises he'll never make it ridiculous. Like, yes, it's a few dollars, but like it's like $8 for bucket. It's like, can't they catch a break?
No. But, I mean, they've competed incredibly well for a team that was looking at guaranteed top 5 draft pick, and they've played good against the Saints, who nearly made the playoffs, and the Rams, who just won the Super Bowl, and they've made close games out of both.
Yeah, agreed. So it's gonna be interesting. I hope the Falcons find their player, their core, because I think the next year, if I remember correctly, this year's upcoming draft, there's going to be a very QB draft heavy.
Yeah.
Or, you know what I'm trying. Yeah. So again, you hope nothing but the best for the Falcons, but we'll see what happens with them. Seahawks 49ers. 49ers back to form. Came into sad cost though. Trey Lance got, I believe it was a. Not either their first possession or the second possession, he got injured. You feel for the kid because he was playing in a monsoon in week one.
Yeah.
And again, I think Jimmy Garoppolo is, I don't think, if he's not in the top 10, he's just, he's right below it, if that makes any sense. Like, he did take his team to multiple NFC Championship games and a Super Bowl, so, you know. You're happy for Jimmy, and it was very smart that they didn't trade him, but, you know, sometimes you don't wish for the cost. So Do you think they might decide to keep Jimmy, or do you think they'll let him go this year and stick with Trey because they put so much draft capital into it?
I mean, really, it depends on the rest of the season. They got a couple tough ones coming up. We'll talk about the Sunday night game that they're playing against Denver a little bit later, but they got that. They got the Rams. They are getting George Kittle back, but I mean, it's basically a 1-year deal, and because of the way they restructured the contract, the Niners aren't able to franchise him at the end of the year. So I think it's a perfect situation for Jimmy G to if he wants to prove himself to get whatever position he wants on the open market, he can. Now, can he stay healthy throughout? That's been an issue about, you know, half or so of the years that he's been in San Fran. Can he make a play in the playoffs when they ask him, when the other team is saying, hey, we're going to stop you running the ball, throw it on us, either on a late game possession or throughout the game? He hasn't proven that in a situation yet. So, I mean, but it is like, you know, the perfect world for him to step in and play because he knows the system and everything else. Whereas if he were to have gone somewhere else, you know, he wouldn't be anywhere near as comfortable.
Absolutely. And it is win-win because either he'll stay with the 49ers as their starter or he's going to get a nice plush contract somewhere else that needs a team. Bengals, Cowboys, I was definitely wrong with. I honestly thought it was just the Steelers' defense was so good last week. But their main issue is their offensive line.
Yeah.
I thought they improved it, and it's just like they just need to – if they can't turn it around, they need to protect Burrow ran rap and draft nothing but offensive linemen this year.
Yeah, and Micah Parsons is playing at an incredible level, probably one
oh,
of the...
I'm sorry, I'm not taking anything away from Michael Parsons.
Oh, no, but, I mean, like, you know, they brought in money to bring in Lael Collins, I think Alex Kappa, couple other offensive linemen, and for a reason it hasn't worked out. Now, Burrow is a guy that, you know, like, you know, Roethlisberger in his younger days and other quarterbacks, he's going to hold on to the football longer to make that play develop. He did that at LSU, and he's done that early in his career, and that can result in huge plays, but it can also result in a lot of sacks and negative plays. So can the Bengals rebound from it? They have the talent to do so, but they got to start pretty soon, although the AFC North hasn't been as strong, so they're not so far behind that they can't catch up.
Agreed, Gary. And good for the Cowboys. They had a good bounce back game. I still feel that they, depending on when Dak comes back, I don't know if there will be... I still have a feeling they might be third in their division. But, you know, it's still a very young season. We'll see what happens. Next game, I don't know if it's panic time with the Broncos. Like, I always was raised to believe that you give a coach at least a year.
Yeah.
A few years, if it's like, since he's a brand new, spanking new coach.
Yeah.
I would give the guy, you know, he's a rookie coach, head coach, I should say. So, I'm hoping he'll turn around because he's a very nice guy.
I've
seen Nathaniel Hackett talk before, but that was a very sloppy game.
Oh, yeah.
And I will say this, they got talent on that team, and if they can turn it around, I think they have the weapons. He just needs to adjust to being a head coach from a coordinator. But definitely has a big test to prove on Sunday night.
Yep. And, you know, they're banged up at those weapon positions because Tim Patrick got hurt in training camp. Jerry Jeudy had a shoulder or something pop up against Houston. KJ Hamler's now banged up a little bit. So a lot of the pieces that you thought would help Russ Cook aren't there. So maybe, you know, you got to go to run game, which, you know, there was one weird play where it was 3rd and 1 and you have Javonte Williams at the time running for like 6 yards a carry and they run a tight end option play on 3rd and 1. They have a play where they have to call timeout because they don't have a punt return on the field, and you know, just a lot of bizarre communication stuff. And you hope that they clean it up pretty soon before they get into the meat of the AFC West schedule and the AFC schedule overall.
Oh, agreed. Staying with the AFC West, Cardinals, Raiders. It's interesting to see what happened. They were playing strong, and they let the Cardinals sneak back in.
Yeah.
Would you say it's panic time, or do you think that the Raiders can adjust?
I think it's panic time if you're talking about competing to win that AFC West, because the Chiefs are already a couple games up. The Chargers have such an incredible roster that I think they're better. And if Denver ever figures it out, you know, I kind of trust Russell Wilson a little more than Derek Carr, so yeah, they gotta pick things up. They got an important game this week. I mean, you know, you're up 20-0, 23-7, and, you know, you're just not able to close the deal. Kind of reminded me a little bit of the regular season finale where they had, you know, they're up two scores against Justin Herbert, and he's making incredible throws, you know, to win the game. And this time it was Murray with his feet and his arm. Although I would say Herbert's was a little more impressive because he was just, you know, going, you know, converting fourth and 10, you know, five or six different times. But yeah, the Raiders are in some trouble with, you know, how great that whole AFC West division is. And, you know, at this point, are we looking at Josh McDaniels as a coach that has shown on two different occasions that he can't get it done? I don't know.
And I will say this for the Raiders. Maybe it'll be different because it's Josh McDaniels. Maybe it's not going to be the case. But I'll say this for the Raiders. They are the biggest wild card team you've ever seen. I always had a love-hate thing with the Raiders. But it's just like, you never know what's going to happen with the Raiders. Like, they can somehow turn it around halfway through the season. They're always, I'll say this for them, they're always an enjoyable team to watch.
Yeah.
Some teams can't say that. So. Mm-hmm. That's definitely a plus they have. Going to the Sunday night game, we have Bears-Packers. I think the Packers kind of did their thing like they did last year. Like, you know what? Yeah, we had a bad week one. Probably Aaron Rodgers drove them up to the edge of Canada and, like, in the woods. And the receivers dig the graves. Like, you mess up again. just goofing. But, yeah, that was a very... very impressive game, and some people might say it was the Bears, but, you know, they're since the LaFleur has been there. I think they've consistently been 13-3, if I remember correctly.
I think last year the 13-4 because they rested pretty much everyone at least a half. But
But yeah, still 13 wins. That's very
every year. But this year it could be a little different because they don't have the receiving threats. But defensively, they've, you know, with especially Quay Walker at linebacker and some of the linemen they've got, once they get completely healthy and playing well in the secondary, that defense is phenomenal. And then Aaron Jones, huge for my fantasy team, but probably one of the best dual threat players in the league running and catching.
Absolutely. Going to we're saving the two big games for last, which will lead to our week three. But the second Monday night game, the one that was on later, was Vikings Eagles, and I don't think it was so much Kirk Cousins kind of blowing out Monday night, but that Eagles team, my God, they looked like a Super Bowl contender. Like they got in the playoffs last year. People thought it was a fluke. I think they're here to stay. They're a very impressive team. Fun to watch.
Yep. AJ Brown is playing like one of the best receivers in the league, and you get Miles Sanders, Jalen Hurts running and throwing, Dallas Goedert making plays, Darius Slay a couple years ago, that trade, you're not in love with it, and now he's looking like one of the top, you know, 5-8 corners in the league, and completely takes out Justin Jefferson, helps get a couple interceptions in the red zone, 2 of 3 interception in the red zone, which, you know, if the Vikings score on at least one or two of those, it makes it somewhat of a game, but then they're able to just control the clock the rest of the way with their run game. And yeah, they look about as impressive as at least one other team that we'll talk about, but yeah, they look like the most complete team in the NFC so far.
And then going to the second game we're talking about, Dolphins Ravens turned out to be I think barn burner was a good thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it just was a very impressive game. Looked like the Dolphins were out and just they blew it out of the water. And again, I'm not taking anything away from Tua. He had a phenomenal game.
Yeah.
Again, I hope nothing for the best of players, but, you know, we'll see if it was a fluke or a good game. But, like, this is one of the games to talk in depth with. Like, I don't know what happened. Like, the Ravens either gave up or they just found their second gear finally.
Yeah, a bunch of corners got nicked up for them. Marlon Humphrey got nicked up. Marcus Peters got beat deep for a touchdown, though it seemed like a miscommunication with their rookie first-round safety, Kyle Hamilton, for a Notre Dame guy who I was in love with, but, you know, maybe not the guy you want covering deep. They had another rookie corner get just run by Tyreek Hill, and it looked like he maybe expected deep coverage, and, you know, so a couple of plays, but Tua hit one to Tyreek, which has been underthrown, and then one in stride to him, and then Waddle's making plays all over the place, and, you know, Lamar Jackson has four touchdowns and puts like 400 plus yards of offense, and it's not enough because they can't get a stop on defense. So Miami looking like they could potentially be contenders, in the Ravens, they're close to it, but then, you know, they're banged up all in the running back room. You know, they're starting to have the same injury issues they had last year, and, you know, it just seems like they'll put a bunch on Lamar, who I think is a top five MVP candidate thus far, but if he can't get wins, it's going to be hard for him to be in that top three or four by the end of the year.
Absolutely. And again, like you said, I think the Ravens will still have impressive games, but very, very interesting to see. It feels like the Dolphins rivalry is finally starting to kick back up again. Speaking of which, Robin, how about them Bills?
Oh, yeah.
What a just enjoyable game this Monday night. It sadly came at a cost with a lot of injuries.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we just got to take the pleasure of what an incredible game that was. That was so much fun to watch.
Yeah, and Tennessee's been a thorn in their side. The last three games they played Tennessee, one went on the road. They win 14-7. They have the 2021 with the weird scheduling, and they get just beat down that game. And Allen was playing with the shoulder injury at the time, so it wasn't quite as great as the first three or four that year. Next year, you know, they have the Monday night game where they have a lead in the fourth quarter. The defense isn't able to hold, and they get down in the area. And I think they take the right chance to go for it, but because, you know, of the slip on the QB sneak, doesn't work out. But this game, except for the early portion, you know, maybe not scoring in the red zone as much as they should have, they basically gave Tennessee no chance to get anything going and just, you know, demolish them in that third quarter with 24 points about the first 10 minutes. Yeah, they got banged up with Hyde, Micah Hyde, and, you know, we don't know anything about that as of yet. He's looking at second opinions. He's not going to play Sunday. Dane Jackson also not going to play some with that neck injury as well, but he avoided, you know, anything severe, it looks like, because he was in the ambulance with that.
Thank God he got released the next day.
Kevin Everett, Aaron Williams, yeah, those two have ended their careers early, yeah.
And it hit home for us again because Kevin Everett was a Bills guy, so that's why it's flashbacks. And it was a car wreck watching that game because not between us and the Titans, it was like 10 to 12 players went down. And Jordan Phillips went down either towards the end or after the game.
Yeah, I think it was on the Milano interception return, And by the way, Milano and Edmonds, they, you know, I think Phillips is going to be out, but Milano and Edmonds were playing at, you know, Levante David, Devin White levels, you know, when the Buccaneers won the Super Bowl a couple years ago. If you get those two playing at that level and hopefully get health elsewhere in the secondary and on D-line, that those two are going to make an incredible amount of plays like they did on Monday.
And then before we switch gears to this big, in my opinion, the best game of this upcoming weekend, just some praise. I think Stephon, if it wasn't his career game, it was one of his career games. Matt Milano had his greatest game of his life, in my opinion, because getting a pick six is incredible. And in my opinion, and again, not a knock to anyone else, but just I think Josh is the best quarterback in the league. And it's not I'm not even trying to say that because he's it's partially that, I'm not going to lie, but it's just like, as incredible as Patrick Mahomes is, if the pressure's coming like it does for Josh and there's no one open, Josh is like, oh, I'm going to run. It's just like, it's like he has Lamar Jackson and Cam Newton's running ability, like Peyton Manning's accuracy, and Tom Brady is, like, because again, he has a very fast release speed. And he just has Big Ben's, like, even if he doesn't run, like, no, I'm not going down. But as we said, you know, a lot of injuries, which is my we're leading to the Sunday night. I'm sorry, not Sunday night game. In my opinion, it should be the Sunday night game because it's. I think this will be the, one of the best games in the next few weeks. Is Dolphins Bills?
Yeah.
I still think we can win. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say I say like maybe 60-70%, but with all the injuries, I would not be surprised or disappointed if we lose this coming weekend. But you know, we still have the offense was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not taking anything away from the Dolphins defense, but they're not as stellar.
Mm-hmm.
As a lot of the top tier teams, but unfortunately, just because of all the injuries in the secondary, we have Tyreek Hill.
Yeah,
but on the Sunday game, but I'll say this: I have a feeling that Von Miller again, Super Bowl when like we definitely brought him in for his playing ability, but he's like a coach himself.
Yeah,
he's like the Super Bowl whisperer, like just like calm down, guys. You know, we got this, but like. I think the Lions going to really step up this game just because I haven't been able to watch too many. How is the Dolphins offensive line? Let's combine those two words.
Very injury depleted with Austin Jackson, former first-round pick. He was at right tackle. He's on IR, so he's going to miss this game. Tron Armstead, the left tackle they brought in from New Orleans, he's questionable with a toe thing. And, you know, Von Miller... As you said, he's like coach on the field, and he was the guy that helped bring Aaron Donald, as great as he was playing, got him out of his shell to be more of a leader and play at an even higher level in the playoffs last year. And you're seeing some of the technique stuff that he's taught with guys like Russo, Epineza, and Basham, and all three of them, you know, as hard as it is to get all four of those DNs on the field, every one of them is making a play. You know, Basham had a fumble recovery, an interception week one. Epineza had a sack and a half, got pressure. Von Miller almost got a strip sack against Tannehill, was like a half second away from doing it. And then Rousseau had a sack or the half where he's lining up at defensive tackle and just going upfield. So... they are going to miss Phillips and Ed Oliver as well, but they have...
Is Ed officially out? Or
yes. McDermott said today he's officially out, yeah.
Oh, that's right, yeah, because I knew originally it was Dane, Mike, yep. Jordan. Didn't I see that Jordan Poyo is questionable?
Yes, he did pretty much practice fully, so I think he's going to play... But I would think that both Jaquan Johnson in for Micah Hyde and Damar Hamlin see a lot of time. And, you know, those are two safeties that have been the program a couple years for Hamlin, and this is the fourth year for Jaquan Johnson. So some decent experience back there, but not the level of play that Micah Hyde can bring.
Absolutely. I think, Robin, the key to this game, because again, I think there could be a chance we could lose with the injuries, but I really think if the line, like in the first week, if the defense just contains and sacks the hell out of Tua, and I actually talked to someone, I was setting up my new checking account at M&T, Bills Bank, not a sponsor yet, hopefully, but she even said that she was an Alabama fan, and she was saying when Tua used to get hit in Alabama, he started to get flustered. So I really hope that, I really think that Vaughn is going to step up in this game, and I'm not saying he hasn't yet, but I'm just, like, with the injuries, this is finally his chance to, and as you said, since the offensive line of the Dolphins is a little beat up, I think he can help Russo, you know, and heck, now that since Jordan's gone, I mean, hopefully we'll see a little more Shaq Lawson.
Maybe get some revenge
on the Dolphins, but I think it'll be a good game either
way. Yeah.
And we still have the offense, which is so it's going to be a very good game. Any Dolphins fans listening, if you win this game, congrats. But not saying at all of it, but I guarantee if we do lose this game, everyone's going to be, oh my God, the Bills are going down. Like that was like. All I'm going to say is this. It's just one game. We still got another one in December. So,
I
won't be disappointed. I think it's going to be a good game no matter what.
I think it's going to be a closer one than the last few have been between Bills, Dolphins, and we still have to see how the rest of the offense, because Davis is still dealing with the ankle injury he suffered last Saturday, and Knox had a foot thing. Both have been able to practice, but... do they rest them just for the longevity of the season, along with a bunch of other players? I don't know. And then hope to find a way to win. We have to see.
Absolutely. Now, going to the rest of the week three games, we're going to quickly touch on the game last night between Pittsburgh and Cleveland. Since they got a 10-day break, and Tomlin kind of always, I think, because TJ out is about 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah.
That being said, they got a long wait till next game. Do you think that they might say, let's see what Kenny got?
I think if there was a game that they would, it would be the Jets game. But Tomlin said he's not considering it at this point. It was pretty adamant about that. I do think if they fall behind in that game, there's some potential for that move to be made. But if they win that game and get to 2-2, I don't think a move's made. I mean, it's one of those things where, is it the play calling? Because Matt Canada's never really had a lot of fans in that Pittsburgh area as the offense coordinator. Offensive line hasn't been great, you know. They have the playmakers. I mean, Freiermuth's a very talented young tight end. Chase Claypool, 6'4", 240, and they're using him as a quasi, you know, big tight end, big slot receiver, and he can make plays. George Pickens made maybe the catch of the year so far and probably will be. And then Deontay Johnson, they signed to a big deal. So you have a limited amount of time with Claypool being a free agent next year and Pickens on his rookie deal, and, you know, how much can you put, you know, give the ball to Najee Harris? So, I mean, you'd like to get your young quarterback experience. I mean, the primary thing with a Mike Tomlin team is win. And if he feels that Trubisky's the best guy to win, he's going to stick with him pretty much no matter what. But for how long, we really don't know.
Absolutely. But yeah, I agree with you. If it does seem like towards the end of the game, if they're not winning it, they might pull what the Titans did with Malik Willis. Like, okay, bud, let's see what you got.
Yeah, yeah.
Going into the games, we'll start with the 1 p.m. games, New Orleans, Carolina. If Carolina loses this game, do you think Matt Rhule's getting fired? Do you think they might give him the season?
I don't think they're giving him the season if it gets bad. And this could be when, I mean, I think he's definitely got the hottest seat. It's, you know, I haven't looked up the betting for which coach's getting fired. I believe that's a prop thing. I'm not sure, but he's definitely probably the first one up. They're playing a Saints team with Jameis coming off a turnover-prone game. He's playing with four fractured vertebrae in his back.
Oh, jeez, I forgot about that. That's right.
Yep. So, if they can't beat the Saints, if the Panthers can't win the game with all that going on, all the injuries that the Saints are dealing with, you know, Kamara didn't play in the last game. It could be very close to the end for Matt Rhule. And then what does that mean for the rest of the year? Who really knows? Because, you know, I can't think of anyone that's great as an interim option there. So they've had a couple close ones, and Baker hasn't been horrible, but he hasn't made enough plays for them to win at the end of games, although their first two losses have been at the buzzer with kicks being made by the other team. So, you know, if those kicks get missed and they're big kicks, 50-plus yards, you know, we're talking about them 2-0 and the heat's off of both Baker and Matt Rhule.
It definitely was a very close game, and I'll say that for him. Like, you know, they say a loss is a loss, but, you know, at least it wasn't a blowout or, you know, last minute, so to speak. Houston, Chicago, I honestly do not know who's going to win this one. I'm going to do the famous coin flip right now. Tails, so that goes to Chicago. Definitely a very good game to see what they got for both teams.
I think Chicago is just very scrappy, and Houston's scrappy to the extent, but I think Chicago's even more scrappy, and, you know, they got beat up by the Packers, you know, Lambeau Field, the Packers are practically unbeatable against most everybody. Fields only threw it 11 times. I mean, they're not really letting him throw the ball that much. They don't really have an offensive line to protect him. They don't really have any receivers outside of Darnell Mooney, but I think the Bears, Robert Quinn, Travis Gibson, that pass rush, bunch of really young, talented players on defense, Roquan Smith, Jaquan Brisker, Kyler Gordon at corner. I think they make enough plays to make it close, and then Fields will make a couple plays running and passing. And I think, I just don't know if Mills has enough around him, and he hasn't played a massive well enough game other than that first half against the Colts for me to say he's going to throw enough against a pretty good defense to get it done.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Going to Kansas City in Indianapolis, I'm sorry, Indy, that I'm pretty sure this could be a loss. I mean, I hope they do win, but I can't see... I guess can't see them winning that, but you know the good news for them if they do lose. I mean, Houston's playing Chicago.
Yeah.
The Titans are playing the Raiders.
Yeah.
And the Chargers. I mean, the Jaguars are playing the Chargers. So it's like
yeah. They're
just blessed that they're in this division.
Oh yeah.
And it's helpful that they got that tie. It's kind of funny that sometimes ties are better than losses.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I still think Kansas City will win this game.
Yeah, me too. Shaq Laren's going to be out for this game, so that's, you know, that's another piece to that defense that he didn't play against Jacksonville last week, but that's just another piece to that defense that got mostly shredded for the most part by the Jaguars. And, their best chance is to just run Jonathan Taylor to the end. It does feel like they were able to bring him back in the game despite being far behind against Houston. For whatever reason, against Jacksonville, they didn't really give him a ton of carries. For them to win this one, they got to keep the ball away from Mahomes, run it with him as many times as possible, get Nyheim Hines more involved, and then hopefully hit a couple of big plays over the top. But I think Kansas City is just... they don't have the, you know, one play touchdown that they have with Tyreek Hill, but they're balanced enough across the board, and hopefully they incorporate the rookie receiver they drafted out of the second round, Sky Moore, and he adds more of a big play element to that offense. And once they get that together with a more consistent offense and a pretty good defense, they should be right up atop the AFC, right atop the AFC top standings, you know, with all the other big contenders up there. But I can't really see the Colts winning that game as of right now.
Would I want them to win? Absolutely, because that's an advantage for the Bills. But going to a division rival, Detroit, Minnesota. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go with my heart, and it's funny because I really like Minnesota, but like I think everyone agrees you can't help but love Detroit this year.
The Fighting Dan Campbells, I love watching them, yeah.
I think it can go either way, but I'm going to give the edge to Detroit. Again, I'm going with my heart with this one, but I might be wrong, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Baltimore, New England. I think Baltimore's going to get this game just because they're probably playing angry. They want to get back, back up there and seeing the Patriots lose, an Angel gets the wings. Going to Cincinnati and Jets. Oh, I apologize. Would you say you agree with that? Baltimore winning?
Yeah, I think so. The Patriots. You know, they made enough plays to win in Pittsburgh, but I just don't see, outside of Judon as a pass rusher. Normally, you have at least two or three players, and Barmore's pretty good for them, but. You know, Jalen Mills is a number one corner. He was solid, good as a number two, but as their number one, I think Rashad Bateman can make some plays against him. They have a bunch of safeties, but I still think Mark Andrews will make some plays, and I think Lamar Jackson is good enough to make enough big plays to win, and I don't know if Mac Jones will, you know, be able to match him throw for throw.
Oh, absolutely. I think we're both agreeing that's going to be a Baltimore's game. Cincy at the Jets. I think this will be the Bengals' come bounce back kind of game. Like, you know, with the exception of last week, the first week, the offense was good.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm not taking it. Robert Saleh's defense is pretty good. You know, he is a defensive coordinator. But I will say this. I don't think Flacco can compete with Burrow.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I don't know. I, I still think it will be the Bengals game, but it's unless the line shapes up, it's going to be a very tough game for Burrow. But Burrow still has ice in his veins, so I still think he'll find a way to win.
And the Jets do have a ton of skill position talent to keep this close. Garrett Wilson's played phenomenal as a rookie. Elijah Moore is a pretty good second-year player. Corey Davis had one of the big touchdowns. So I think the Jets will move the ball. They have some good young pieces across the board. Breece Hall had a touchdown. But I think this is put up or shut up time for the Bengals, and they step up and get a W.
Agreed. Going to an 0-2 versus 0-2 game, Vegas at Tennessee. I think Vegas is going to this. They have a lot more weapons than the Titans do.
Hunter Renfrow is out. Does that change your mind?
I mean, they still got Darren Waller. They got Devontae Adams. Yeah. Whereas, I don't know. I mean, like, they do have Derrick Henry, the Titans. And you're wrong. I love Robert Woods from the Bills, but he's not Devontae Adams. So even with Renfrow out, I still think, with Darren Waller, Josh Jacobs, along with Devontae Adams, I still think that it's going to go to the Raiders.
I'm going to go because it's a battle of former Belichick assistants, Vrabel and McDaniels. Vrabel can be very stubborn about believing that the run game and defense wins you a bunch of games in a league where it's mostly passing league and you need to score. That being said, in the coaching edge, I give him a slight edge. Tennessee's at home. They know the AFC South is still there for the taking, but they have to start winning now. I trust the Titans a little more in this game. Now, I would say the talent advantage maybe is more with the Raiders, but it's a whole new, staff and everything, and I haven't seen them been able to finish a game yet this year. So I'm going to pick the Titans, but, if the Raiders want to make their season still have a chance, they'll find a way to win this one, but I don't see it right now.
That's absolutely, that's very reasonable. Sorry, I'm trying to find the right word I was trying to say.
No, you're good.
And I'll say this with the Titans. They lose, they're not out of the woods yet, because that's what we discussed with the other teams, the other division teams are playing.
Yeah.
It's just, they're what the, was it last year or the previous year? The NFC East was really atrocious.
I think it was 2020. It was the year Joe Judge almost made it in as a 6-10 team and was offended by how the Eagles handled that last regular season game. Yeah,
that's what it was. Yeah. So it's gonna be. I'd say it just feels like they're the new NFC East. Speaking of the NFC East, you got Philly at Washington. Always a fun game. This is the first Carson Wentz return game. I take that back. It's not in Philadelphia, but with how Washington fans are, I think there's going to be a lot of Eagles fans. And again, I love Riverboat Ron. I love Carson Wentz, but I think the Eagles have a much better team.
Yeah, I think Carson will acquit himself well in this game. They've used Curtis Samuel really well. McLaurin's been covered up, I think double covered a lot. That's opened things up for Dotson to make some plays and Curtis Samuel to make some plays. And Logan Thomas got into the act a little bit. But defensively in the secondary, I still don't think they have Chase Young back, so they're not able to get that elite pass rush like they normally would. And I think with that, the Eagles will make one or two more scores to win. I think it'll be pretty high scoring, but I think the Eagles do win it in the end.
Absolutely. I think we're both agreeing on that game. Jacksonville Chargers. Chargers. I think Jacksonville could get some points up. I really think that Peterson is doing a great job as a coach. He's the right person to help. Trevor Lawrence. A year or two might have been a closer game, but I just have a feeling that this could be the Chargers game.
It'll be interesting to see what Herbert looks like with the fractured ribs. Right. Yep, yep. He did throw an incredible throw, like two plays after getting that rib injury. Just a absolute shot to DeAndre Carter to convert a fourth down and keep them in the game. They bring back Keenan Allen. That'll be huge because they missed him against the Chiefs in the red zone and third down, especially. J.C. Jackson's not going to play, so be interesting to see how that affects their defensive game plan against the Jaguars. But they have a top five roster, the LA Chargers. So I think they win this one. If they don't, it'll be ugly, but there'll start to be some concerns if they start the year 1-2. I don't think it'll happen, but yeah.
Rams, Cardinals, I hate taking games away from people. I think the Rams are a lot better built than the Raiders, so I really think that the Rams are going to knock the teeth out of the Cardinals, so to speak.
Yeah, I think they need to figure out what exactly happened in that second half to let the Falcons back in it. They don't have the run game that they used to, so they depend a lot on Stafford to make plays. And when he's rolling, hey, you know, you get up ahead, but there's always the risk he can throw the ball away. As great a player as he is, and I still think he's a top 10 quarterback, you know, he has the ability to bring you back in games and win close games. I mean, he had three game-winning drives in the playoffs, but then he has, you know, games where, you know, he can give it away to the other team. So, but the Cardinals, they're still banged up. Rondale Moore is not going to play. They still have DeAndre Hopkins. And Kyler Murray is not going to do to Aaron Donald what he did to the Raiders, which you'd say is surprising because the Raiders have both Max Crosby and Chandler Jones. But McVay is going to make sure that they have a game plan to make sure he's not going to, you know, be in the backfield 15 to 20 seconds without anyone sacking him.
Yeah, I'm happy you brought up Hopkins. One of my favorite draft picks this year. Mm-hmm. I got Hopkins in the fifth round. So it's a very value pick to stash on my roster. But I think we both agree the Rams will win it. But it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a tight game at some points, but I think the Rams might bring it together.
Mm-hmm.
Falcons, Seahawks. What do you think? I can't really predict who's going to win this one. It is in Seattle though, so that might give the Seahawks a slight edge.
I think the Seahawks have talked a lot of, you know what, about Russ not cooking so far, and you know, so far, you know, with the win against him, and you know, the struggles of the Broncos, you know, there's some thing to that, but I also think, you know, it's early on, and I think they played that Broncos game like it was their Super Bowl, and Geno Smith was great for a half, and the rest of the year he's not done much of anything. I mean, their only 7 points was a kick return for a score, and I only think they got 3 points in the second half against Denver, so they might open up the offense a little bit, but I mean, the Falcons have been this close to being two really talented teams, and I think they get it done this week, to be honest, because I think Mariota's made some play. Drake London's looked like an absolute stud as a rookie receiver. Hopefully, the big thing is they haven't gotten Kyle Pitts involved for whatever reason. I think that changes this week.
You know, I think I agree with you. You know, again, Robin is the stats guy, definitely a lot more than I am, but I think you're right, and I'll say this, if they do lose, I mean, it's win-win, because that will keep them number. I think that they'll either be last or they will be in the top three. So I think they'll get their quarterback no matter what.
Yeah.
Draft. I think you're right. I think the Falcons, at the very least, I really hope they don't Falcon it and another like blowout and then they lose it again. It's like, I don't think it wasn't last week, but the week before it was like a 99. I don't know if we're going as far as 99.9% chance of winning and lost it, but it was still 99 point something. So we're rooting for you, Falcons. Green Bay at Tampa. I don't know. Like, I think that Tampa is a little more beat up, so I might give it to the Packers.
Yeah, both teams are basically, you know, their whole receiving corps are like in the infirmary. No Sammy Watkins this week. He's out with a hammy. Christian Watson's questionable. Randall Cobb's questionable, and then Mike Evans suspended, Chris Godwin out with the hamstring, Julio Jones hasn't practiced much, same with Russell Gage. You know, they sign, you know, Cole Beasley to the practice squad. I wonder if he comes in the game, and, you know, I don't know what he's able to offer. I don't think he and Brady will all of a sudden become Brady Welker 2007, but he can help. And for a game that is about two of the greatest quarterbacks ever, it feels like it's going to be more about run game and defense for both teams, and then which quarterback doesn't make the mistake or makes one more play than the other. You would say Brady in most cases, but Brady's been only 200 yards a game and a bit off, and granted he's playing some great defenses, but I think not having that time in the offseason with receivers and his receivers banged up and everything else, it's kind of catching up. And next couple games, Packers, Chiefs, you know, it'll be interesting to see if they win both those home games. But I'm starting to wonder, you know, if there's still offensive struggles through the first four games, regardless of whether they win the next two or not, is he going to have to win the same way Peyton Manning did in his last year, which was, you know, he was very bad for a lot of that year, but they were elite on defense throughout the year with Von Miller and Elvis Dumer. No, it was actually DeMarcus Ware, excuse me, and then Shaq Barrett as like a third pass rusher at the time. So, but it's early in the season, so we'll see. But it could be 2015 Bronco vibes from this Buccaneers team.
Yeah, and I'll say this. Tom Brady looks like he's wearing a Tom Brady suit.
Yeah.
But I think, I did forget, I think the MVP of this game might be Aaron Jones.
I feel
and
like.
I bet you're hoping for that because you got him on your fantasy.
Well, I mean, but he's got to play against two great linebackers. But, you know, if he can make plays both running and passing, that'll be huge, yeah.
I was going to say, because, again, he's a great receiving running back, so he might be the leader in both rushing and receiving for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
The last 4 p.m. game, oh, I'm sorry, not the 4 p.m. game. And I hate to say that because I feel bad because I always liked Denver, but I don't know. This Sunday night game does not feel like a Sunday night game. It's San Fran at Denver. I wish that the Broncos could get their stuff together by this game, but I have a feeling that San Francisco is going to open up a Stone Cold Steve Austin. You see, open up a can of whoop-assed.
I wonder how much the, you know, if the Mile High crowd is good and not booing, does that make an impact on the game? I mean, the Niners, when their defensive line is on, you know, and their back end isn't being threatened by any elite receiving cores like the Rams were able to do in the NFC Championship game. I mean, as we said, the Broncos are beat up and everything. But the Broncos defense, with the exception of the first half against the Seattle, has been really good. Their offenses move the ball in between the 20s really well. They just haven't scored in the red zone. It'll be interesting, too, because, you know, Kyle Shanahan's dad, Mike, led the Broncos to two Super Bowls. But the end of that 10-year was very ugly in terms of how he kind of was ousted out. But I think Russ makes a player two more than Jimmy G in this game. And I think the Broncos find a way to win it at the end, but it could be a game where it could be a bloodbath, you know, if the Niners play extremely well and the mess from Hackett continues. I mean, if Kyle Shanahan does outcoach Nathaniel Hackett, it won't matter what Russ or the rest of the team does. But I'm going to say the Broncos, in a desperate situation, do get this one.
The Giants at home against the Cowboys. I don't know. I think that this is going to be a very big Cowboys big Giants home game. Like, it's Monday night. They're 2-0. I think they're a slightly better team right now, and just they're riding that momentum. So I'm going to go with the Giants.
Yeah, it's really a toss-up for me because I think Micah Parsons is one of the top 3-5 game records, if not the biggest game record in football right now. And he could just, you know, blow up Daniel Jones for a sack, fumble, touchdown, or anything like that. And the Giants, you know, they're playing David Sills over, you know, who was a practice squad guy in Buffalo and with the Giants. And he's playing over Kenny Galladay, who only had 2 snaps. Doesn't know what that means with Galladay's future. They're tied to that contract for a while. So it's, you know, year 2 and already looking like one of those top free agent busts of all time. Kadarius Toney hasn't been healthy. He's not on the field. And I think having players like that against a Dallas defense, which is pretty stout, especially in a pass rush game, would be huge. I mean, Trayvon Diggs has his moments, but I don't think where he can get beat, but I'm not sure if David Sills and Richie James are enough to do it. But the Giants will play that game really, really tough. And it's Cooper Rush on the other side, but Cooper Rush has played really well against the Vikings on Sunday night, really well against the Bengals. I think, I hate to say it, but I think the Cowboys find a way to win that one with a couple of plays from Cooper Rush. And, you know, he starts to prove himself as a backup that can make enough plays to win. And then, you know, once that, if they can stay in contention with Dak out, I still feel like the Eagles are the favorite, but the Cowboys can very well compete for a playoff spot if they get this W.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good game, but... Mm-hmm. We'll definitely see what happens. I'm looking forward to that Monday night game.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a good one. But, yeah, that does it for Football Update with Andy and Robin.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Thank you, Andy.
Yeah, anytime. You guys have a good one.